Thank you. It certainly is indeed a pleasure to be up here. I certainly hold this symposium in high regard, certainly one of the events of the year that gets marked on the calendar early. And it's fun to be up here in front of some peers, some mentors, a lot of people that I've asked questions of, a lot of people that have taught me things. It's fun to be up here, and it's fun to see what three of us have given the basically the same topic are going to have fairly significantly different speeches, I think. But let's get on with thing. I have a lot of people to thank for being here, especially my parents, my grandparents, for allowing me to do my dream. You know, as a little kid, maybe this wasn't what I thought when I thought I was going to be a NASA astronaut, but no, I certainly am living the dream, and I'd like to thank all of them, and especially my family, my wife, and kids at home. Where we are, we're right on the western edge of Banner County, just right hanging on to the edge of Nebraska there. For those of you that aren't familiar, I mean, it's fairly similar to this area, 14, 16-inch rainfall area. We run on a lot of annual forages. We use a lot of native grass, utilize corn stalks heavily in the wintertime. But that's a little who we are or where we are. Who we are, we're commercial cow operations, our main gig. We certainly have a farming operation. We finish all of our own steer progeny, all of our own heifer progeny. Everything's ready for harvest when it leaves the ranch. In 2010... we added a GrowSafe system to measure feed intake data, or to measure feed intake, along with keeping track of gains. So we have a facility that we test some of our own steers, and then we also do custom data collection, typically in that December through June timeframe is custom data collection. Just quickly of who we are a little bit, so you know a little background. We're a May-June calving system. Switched to May-June in 1999, so we've been at it for a little while. Data collection starts right there. We record birth weights, of course, udder scores, take care of some things there. Moving on to August, we AI all of our cows. Every cow on the place has one opportunity to settle AI, and then bulls are turned in with them. All the heifers on the ranch that we try to keep for replacements have one opportunity AI. If they're pregnant AI, they stay. If not, we move into another system where we try to capture some value out of them, too. Quickly, calves are weaned in November, about now. Turned out on stocks, grazed some annual forages through the winter. Basically, minimal supplemental feed, enough to basically stretch what forage we do have. Last year, we were very fortunate to have quite a few stocks and stuff rented close to where the calves are. We fed hay in a supplemental roll at about a third of their consumption for 2 weeks out of the winter last year. In 2010, as I said, we installed a GrowSafe system. For those of you that aren't familiar with this, this is a Canadian company that we can measure intakes. It can see daily what an animal ate yesterday. This is one pen that we have. We have six pens with four nodes each, so 24 nodes there. This is a quick screenshot of what I can see. This pen, the top screen up there is what this particular animal has eaten over the last 78 days. The bottom screen is what the 39 animals in that particular pen ate yesterday. So actually, this is a very flat intake up on the top, with the exception of a time when that steer had a foot rot issue, and in the bottom screen, that pen is extremely even intakes for a pen of steer. So they only range from about 30 pounds to 55 pounds. I know you might think that that's a pretty wide range, but that really is pretty consistent. All right, let's head into some of the data and some of my thoughts. I want to share with you a few things that we've collected for data. First of all, why efficiency? Dr. Weber, back in 2011, you know, you've seen some of this before, set up that 10% improvement in the feedlot industry, just the feedlot industry, was $1.2 million. Of course, that's the feed cost in 2011, so we qualify that. But when you look again, that the 1% improvement in feed efficiency can have the same impact as 3% in gain, which kind of start to get our attention. And feed costs are certainly a large part. Whether you're a feedlot, you're a backgrounder, or back to the cow-calf section that we're talking about here today. So getting into that cow. So 70% of the feed that we use, you think of that feedlot steer and how many calories he consumes, 70% of the feed in our system, whether it's for cows or steers, goes back to that cow herd. And 70% of that feed is basically used to maintain that cow. Not just to, take out the stuff that we use to raise the calf and gestation. So 50% of the calories that the beef industry uses is to maintain that cow. We're talking some pretty significant numbers here. All right, maybe we need to, I guess we're going to do some of these. I've heard them all. I'm sure all of you that in academia have heard several of these. You can't test feed efficiency because blank. There's confined space versus rangeland, the growth curve of an animal, the age hormone effects, especially in bull calves. We've heard them, grazing versus bunk feeding, the fill of a forage diet versus a chemostatic or an energy feedback from a high grain diet, whether you're measuring gain in a feedlot setting or gain in a growing animal, or whether you're talking about maintenance in the cow. We've heard these excuses. Well, I think we're going to shed a little light on some of these and ask a few questions. After all, our topic was the unknowns, not necessarily the knowns here. But so when we talk about cow efficiency, certainly efficiency is simply put as the input over the output. Or you can switch it around, whether you want to talk gain to feed, feed to gain, however you want to apply that. But that's not necessarily how we're going to use it in genetic improvement. Or there's certainly ways to apply that. So what is an efficient cow? She must convert that forage to a high-value calf. So this is one idea of an efficient cow. She's an old cow. She's an 11-year-old cow in this picture. She's got three calves nursing her. Doing pretty good if we can raise that many calves. All right, well, maybe not. All right. So efficiency, we've heard these. She's got to calve early. She's got to grow at least enough, and maybe that's not maximum growth, but she's got to grow enough to at least get pregnant. She can't have problems. She's got to rebreed, and she's got to produce pounds of a marketable calf. I mean, after all, we're here to raise a wholesome, nutritious, great eating experience. We're here in the beef industry. That's what we're trying to do. But we're asking this cow to raise a calf to be there for us. So what's our input? No more than what the feed is that you're going to give them. And that may be several different things. It may just be grass. And you say, well, what's my feed? What's important to me for feed efficiency when I'm feeding grass year-round? Maybe I'm in a system where I can graze all year. Well, I think we know what pasture rents, what land values are doing. We know that grass isn't necessarily the same for each cow. So when we talk about cow efficiency, we're talking about a whole life cycle. So it's several different things are going to go into that. You got all those outputs and some inputs. We got to figure out how to put all that together. So I think we're going to come up. We got to have an index to get this done. We'll tell you a little bit. I'm going to dig into a little bit of our data, but I want to give you a little background. I failed to mention that the biggest gig we have when we're AI-ing all of our cows, we do this for the Hereford Association mostly. We do have some Red Angus calves born that are in a system too. But through the National Reference Sire Program that the Hereford Association has us involved in, we've been there since 1999. We've tested over 200 steers or 200 sires for them with over 10,000 progeny. But since 2010, we've tested 71 sires for almost 1,800 steer progeny have went through our growth safe system. And that's just our steers. We do have a small registered herd, and so we've tested our bulls and heifers through that system also. But these numbers are just our steer progeny. So we obviously have a lot of data sitting around that we can ponder. Oops. So sometimes when we're sitting around and pondering, this is one of the things that I will show you. This is actual data, and this is in your handout. And I would, if you want to look at this data, I would ask you to pull this out because I'm going to make a correction here in just a little bit. So this is actual data in June 14th to August 25th test that we did back in 2012. So it is 2012 feed costs, which obviously was a high year for feed costs. Just happened to be some data that I had fairly easy. I kind of wanted to use it because it illustrates some things fairly well. And it correlates well to other years. This is on the first part of their feeding phase. So the average of the pen, we saw, just a second, maybe I should. There's 13 sires represented. There's 209 steers in this test that actually had good data. I think there's a couple steers that had bad that we threw out their data. And I would emphasize, we test all steers. It's not the good steers. It's not the bad steers. All steers out of a given progeny or out of a given bull are tested. So so the average of those 200-plus steers, the average weight gain there was 5 pounds a day. I'm going to say they had an average end value of $1.45 a pound. They're seven weight steers. They have an average value of $1.35 a pound. You can argue these numbers, but that's what we're going to use today. Feed costs that year, fairly expensive, and this is feed only, not yardage. So if you look in your proceedings, I did make a mistake. If you look under sire D and you go over there to his end value, you need to insert that red number of $1,055 and move everything else down a line. For end weights on bull F, you insert that 706 and you move all those other numbers down a line. So if you look at those bottom two numbers that are actually on your chart, those are the average of those columns. Oh, sorry. Does everybody get that? I do want you to make sure you kind of have that right. Because when I started looking at it to make my slides, this didn't compute. All right. I'm going to look at two sires, the top one and the bottom one. They have a similar beginning weight. They're 750-pound steers. And this, so there's roughly, on the average, 16 steers per sire. And this is the average of those 16 steers for each sire. Basically the same end weight, a large difference in average daily gain. This is over 72 days. And we're going to move over to that last column. There's a $50 difference in the value of those steers, of what they gained in value. This is a little complex, but I'm going to move through this kind of quickly just because I have more data to present than I have time. But I'm telling you that each steer created $50 more value for that sire than each steer and the other sire group. So that's the best to worst. But here, let's look at two sires. E and I, I'll just pull these out of your table, have essentially the same beginning weight, closer average daily gains, but there's still a little difference. But look at the difference in feed costs. $36. Per steer over 72 days. That's 50 cents a day difference that steer was eating versus each steer of that sire was eating versus the other one. There's some big differences out there. We can make changes because there is differences. The other thing I want to share with you is there's opportunity for change. We know this is heritable. We know with the selection we can change this. I'm going to talk a little bit about RFI, so I need to back up and just make sure everybody knows what I'm going to say about RFI, because Dr. Weber showed back on the the surveys they did in 13, that only 16% of the seed stock people, the feedlot people, and the cow-calf people actually knew what RFI was. RFI is simply the difference between what we expect an animal to eat based on what he weighed and what he gained over that test period compared to what he actually ate. It's predicted from a model of those cattle on that particular test. It's the difference between what he was expected to eat and what he actually ate. I like to share this data because it's marker-based estimates of heritability that they did at University of Missouri. All the Hereford cattle came out of our herd. There was four populations that they studied. All the Hereford cattle came out of our herd. There's 847 Hereford cattle represented in that out of 10 contemporary groups. A couple of the other breeds have some more numbers, but they have a lot more contemporary groups. And the mark data is similar as far as contemporary groups. But I'd like to emphasize that what we've been able to do with the Hereford Association, being able to test all those steers out of our herd. But just to show you the heritability, I mean, I think we all can see that a 0.41, a 0.5 for their mean weight, their middle weight there, that's not necessarily surprising. But to see that our RFI heritability, we can change this. We can change these numbers. On to some other questions, some of the other unknowns. So what about grain versus forage? What about milk versus maintenance? What about the gain in a lot versus maintenance? I think we can look at some data. Dan Scheich from Illinois, the Illinois group, they have a lot of data that will compare testing some yearling heifers on after and then testing them again after they've had a calf and shown some repeatability with that. You look in the Journal of Dairy Science with Potts et al., they have some data that shows that they can show very repeatable RFIs with milk production on a high starch versus a low starch diet. I'm not going to say that it's going to be exactly the same in the feedlot setting as it is in the mama cow, but I'm going to say it's not going to be the wrong way. We're going to make similar changes. All right, enough of the data. You came up here for a producer perspective, so let's go look at some cattle. So when we talked about RFI, the last 2 years, we've taken a test where we've taken essentially the worst three RFI and the best three RFI steers out of our lot. They've went to the University of Missouri. They've done a lot of research on them. And so I have some pictures and some data to share with you about that. All right. So this is the steers that would have went to harvest a year ago. These steers came out of, there's 210 steers in this, the original 70-day test. I took the 17 worst RFI, the best 17 RFI steers. We tested them again on the second phase of their finishing trial. And then we picked these three steers out of those that were consistently poor or good and similar weights, good gains. So they were all healthy, good cattle. So there's lots of experts in here. Where's the efficient cattle in this picture? And where's the inefficient picture? There's lots of experts in here. All right, I'll narrow it, make it a little easier. This is one group. This is either the best three or worst three. And this is either the opposite. Now, the picture didn't necessarily turn out the best because it makes these three steers look a little better. These are the more efficient steers. But my point is, I can't see it, and I don't think what we've typically thought as the efficient cattle are necessarily what we're going to visualize. So, range beef cow symposium, this is the efficient steers. Let's go find some mama cows. So I was looking at these six steers, and I was like, okay, I'm going to find one cow that represents one group and one cow that represents the other group. All right, so this cow either sired one of the poor or one of the good. She's actually probably one of our more shorter framed cows. Nice Springer rib, kind of that showy Springer rib, depth of body that you kind of been taught that you want. She is 10 years old in this picture. Here's another cow. Maybe a little taller cow. Not a bad looking cow. So my point is, she sired one of the more, or excuse me, she didn't sire. She's the dam of one of the most efficient steers, and the other one is the dam of one of the poorer RFI steers. So this is the mom and calf. That's one of the poorer efficient steers. And it happens that the year before, she also sent one of the poorer efficient steers. This is the more efficient steer. This steer actually has some really crazy numbers. RFI on the first phase of nearly negative 10. On the second trial, negative 6. One of the highest gaining steers in the pen, and probably in the top or in the bottom 15% for intakes. Crazy numbers. All right, I want to go back and compare these two cows. We're at the Range Beef Cow Symposium. We're going to compare cows. Top cow, I already told you, she's a 10-year-old cow in this picture. Both these pictures are taken in the last month. She's a 10-year-old cow. She's getting ready to wean her ninth calf. The first seven calves were all AI sired. So basically, the first chance she had to get pregnant, she got pregnant. The last two calves, this calf and the one prior, are from the second service. Her weaning ratio is going to be 99% in our herd. Her longevity's there, production's not. The bottom cow, she's the one that had that really efficient steer. She also has a steer this year that just is complete, that completed his test in September, very average. She has a weaning ratio of 125% in our herd. Crazy. She's an 8-year-old cow. Every calf she's had is an AI sired calf. It's the first chance she had. So she raised that great big steer. What's mature cow weight of these? I'm going to get yanked off here pretty soon. Mature cow weight of these two cows 2 years ago was within 5 pounds of each other. I'm not quite sure how I got quite so lucky to look those up, but that's how it turned out. So mature cow weight is not in this equation. All right, we have some slides we're going to have to skip. I kind of feel like Jim Robb. We better move on. You know, technology's fun, but I miss Jim Robb and all the overheads. I really do miss the pile of overheads at the end. And those of you that remember Jim Robb and the overheads, I do miss that. It was some of the entertainment. All right, management. I'm going to show you these, so read quickly. more growth. We've selected a lot for growth. I'm not sure what that's accomplished in our commercial cows. More milk, same thing. We have not increased our weaning rate in our herds in the commercial sector. One of the most productive things that we can do to increase our productivity is weaning rate, and it's not changed. So what do all those do? That tends to increase visceral organ mass, tends to increase maintenance costs. So I'm going to caution you with milk and growth. That would be my take home of that. Opportunities. I talked about some of the genomic research that we've been involved in, but there's a lot more. I think that we're going to find out a lot more about health. As Dr. Taylor would suggest about the three poor, three good, the three poor RFI steers that we've sent down there have tended to have upregulated immune systems. So there's actually been some health issues in those steers that we didn't even see, even though we were trying not to find steers that had problems. The genetic abnormalities, embryonic death with genomics, huge opportunities to affect weaning rate. Continued testing, better data sets to compare lifetime cow productivity, certainly important as we move forward. To my so what that I'm not going to get to elaborate on, so come tonight and we'll talk about this a little more. We certainly have room for improvement. We have to be careful with that growth. We want to improve efficiency. We want to improve how that cow metabolizes. We don't want to change how she partitions those nutrients and puts all of her nutrients to the calf and not to reproduction. Selection for feed efficiency does not appear to have negative effects on cow fertility or weaning rates. So quickly, obviously you can't see the differences in feed efficiency. We need some more data, and the indexes are going to be how we get those traits combined to get where we want to be. Some of the data I took off this website, great website if you want to know terms. If you want some information, certainly a good place to start for a little basics there, and then they have some other information that you can look into and dig into some of that more. It's a little bit about what we have. My contact information there, feel free to get a hold of us. Like I say, we do our commercial cows is our main thing. We do have a few registered Hereford cows. We sell some bulls. Get a hold of us. I'd be glad to talk a little more about this data. If you have questions about the data that's in the proceedings that's wrong, feel free to ask me, and I'll try to get that straightened out for you. Thank you.